Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress, the industry standard for premium WordPress themes and plugins. Built on the Genesis framework, StudioPress delivers state-of-the-art SEO tools, beautiful and fully responsive design, airtight security, instant updates, and much more. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why more than 190,000 website owners trust StudioPress. Go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. Hello there, it's great to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital, and I like to hang out with the folks who do the heavy lifting over on the Copyblogger blog. You can always find more resources, extra links, and just general good stuff by going to the show notes at copyblogger.fm. You'll also get the complete archive for the show. So today we're going to do something slightly different. We're going to do a segment I call Book Club, and we'll try these out, see how they go. I am going to talk to you guys about a book I found really significant or meaningful or important or useful, crack open some of the ideas in the book, and explain, you know, kind of why I think they're relevant, how I think they might be useful, and then encourage you to pick the book up and let us know your thoughts on it, let us know how it's striking you. So I'm going to start with one that Bran Clark recommended to me a month or two back. We were on the phone and he was saying, you got to read this book. If you read it, it's going to give you post ideas for like the next 5 years. I pick it up on Amazon and I click to pick it up on Kindle, and Kindle says, you bought this like 3 years ago. And so I look, and lo and behold, not only did I read it, but I took extensive highlight notes in it. So I reread it and realized, yeah, actually, I thought this was a great book. I really do think that Brian's right. I think these ideas are actually very core to the way that we work at Copyblogger, to the way that we write, to the way that we try and structure how we communicate, how we structure content. So I thought it would be a great introduction to this book club idea of thinking kind of deeply about a book and then getting together. I would love to know if you've read it, what you think, or, you know, pick it up and let me know how it's striking you. So the title again of this one is Winning the Story Wars: Why Those Who Tell and Live the Best Stories Will Rule the Future. And it's by Jonas Sachs. So I have five quotes that I pulled out of the book from, again, my extensive notes, and I'll also share with you kind of how those ideas struck me and how I think they're applicable. And one of the reasons I like this one, in addition to the kind of ridiculous story of how I came to reread it, is it's the kind of thing that speaks to me because it's very idealistic on one hand. So he has a very strong sense of, you know, the innate goodness of human beings, and how that can be turned away from our best natures, and then how it can be turned back again toward our better natures. But he's also just super practical. So it's not a manifesto full of high ideas. It's really about practical, concrete things that we can do to make better messages that are more effective, and also messages that just make humanity, you know, better. To call on the better angels of our nature, which was a phrase used by Abraham Lincoln that I've always found really powerful. So I'm going to read you the first quote. Stepping into the world of meaning-making means stepping onto a high-stakes battlefield where important stories compete. To thrive in the digitoral era, we must be prepared to understand and then join the story wars. After all, great stories and great conflict have always been inseparable. End quote. So I'll start by just referencing that word he uses, digitoral era, which is a word he made up to talk about the way that the digital era is kind of reinventing the oral tradition. It's kind of an ugly word, but maybe it's useful. So this quote, I thought, was valuable because you may have noticed, if you are a denizen of the internet, that the level of discourse right now is intense. You know, the level of emotion, the level of passion spilling over into absolutely, you could say, great conflict is all around us. And in my observation, a lot of us think that when there's a strong negative reaction to something that we publish, that we're doing it wrong, that we've made a misstep, we've said something wrong, we've said something incorrect or insensitive. And there's a counter to that that I think can be useful. We have talked a lot on Copyblogger, and we will continue to talk a lot about speaking to the right people. So if you're not speaking to people who share your values, and they have, they have a real issue with what you said, that's sort of going to happen because you don't share the same values. So you may get a very negative reaction from somebody who just really is coming from a very different place of values than you are. This is what I do to just keep myself sane. So I don't, I feel like I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing by publishing, that I'm trying to publish something that is fair and true and beneficial. So my first recommendation is just check your position. So in other words, make sure you have real facts, like the kind of facts other people can see and hear and verify, not internet facts. Make sure that your evidence is strong and that it's, you know, it's coming from something that someone without skin in the game would be able to look at and say, no, that's, you know, that seems like good evidence. Every one of us has to really think about checking our egos. So if we care more about winning than we do about what the evidence actually shows, then, you know, that's kind of a red flag. And you can get into a lot of trouble with it. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. So real stories serve your audience. And, you know, the ones that are based on things that are simply not true, they're just not true, they do a lot of damage. And I'm old-fashioned, but I'm kind of, I really believe that the truth is actually a thing. Not some kind of capital T, you know, truth that necessarily beats up everybody else's little t truth, but just more that we can look at the evidence and we can say, you know, this seems a lot more likely than that. I think that's a thing, and I think that's kind of a common sense thing that we can all agree on. You know, gravity is real. We breathe oxygen. These kind of things, verifiable facts. So that first idea from winning the story wars is really about him calling it story wars, you know, using that kind of intense language. And I think when the book came out, that seemed, pretty strong. I think now in 2017, I think everybody gets it. It's like, that's probably right. I would just add, you know, those sanity preserving measures to make sure that you don't embroil yourself staying up until 3 a.m. arguing with somebody who is wrong on the internet, and you may, you know, your facts may be a little wobbly too. His second point, I think it's so powerful and so really beautifully put in the book, is about empowering your audience and not turning them into permanent children. And he talks about a great divide in the history of advertising. And you know, if you ever watched the show Mad Men, or if you ever watched advertising now, but especially 20th century advertising, it was really marked by what's called the inadequacy approach. So here's another quote. Inadequacy stories encourage immature emotions like greed, vanity, and insecurity by telling us that we are somehow incomplete. These stories then offer to remove the discomfort of those emotions with a simple purchase or association with a brand. And the great proponent and practitioner of this in the early days was Sigmund Freud's nephew, interestingly, a gentleman named Edward Bernays. He wrote a book called Propaganda. He was a war propagandist. He was actually a popularizer of Freud's ideas in the United States, so he marketed those ideas in the U.S. He's credited with inventing PR. He's credited with inventing product placement. He was profoundly influential, and he created some really influential campaigns, advertising campaigns. So Jonah Sack's book points out that this inadequacy approach to advertising always has two steps. Step one is you create anxiety. So again, another quote, in inadequacy stories, the moral always begins with the words, you are not, end quote. So it starts with you are not, and then there's some statement that stirs up a negative emotion. So you are not loved, you are not safe, you are not good enough, you are not, you know, successful, this kind of thing. And then step two is to introduce a magic solution. So a solution that bypasses the real lessons of myths, the real lessons of maturity, which is that we can work meaningfully with negative emotions and, you know, and get over them and not be like permanent sullen children. Now, it's important that the magic solution does not indicate any kind of real work or hard work. It has to be something that's effortless. Just go out, buy this product, get a little more in debt, and this bad feeling will go away by magic. And this kind of approach, this kind of structure, really comes out of Edward Bernays' belief, which comes in turn from Freud's belief that people are basically driven by anger and hate, that that's what drives humanity. So humanity has to be controlled. They have to be calmed down, placated, and kept kind of pleasantly drunk with consumerism so that they don't do anything dangerous, because basically human beings are fundamentally messed up. This is the worldview that informs that kind of advertising, that kind of marketing. So while we are talking about legendary old ad guys, and if you like stories of the early days of advertising, this is a wonderful book, because not only does he present interesting ad campaigns, but he really looks at why they work and what they're really saying. It's so fascinating. So along with Edward Bernays, he introduces another gentleman by the name of John Powers. John Powers is sometimes credited with being the first copywriter, as distinct from an advertising man. And John Powers wrote ad copy that looked a lot like ad copy you might recognize today. You know, it was content. It was interesting. It was truthful. It educated the customer about the product. It didn't really do all this trickery or, you know, stimulating fear, things like this. And I'll read you John Powers, what he called his three commandments, because they're very instructive, and I think you'll find they're very resonant with good advice today about content marketing. So, quote, "The first thing one must do to succeed in advertising is to have the attention of the reader. That means to be interesting. The next thing is to stick to the truth, and that means rectifying whatever is wrong in the merchant's business. If the truth isn't tellable, fix it so it is. That's about all there is to it." So that could be paraphrased as be interesting, tell the truth, and if the truth sucks, then fix reality so that you can tell the truth. And this leads to what Sachs is calling empowerment marketing as the other side of inadequacy marketing. And empowerment stories are really, first of all, they're behind some of the most effective marketing and advertising and content that we see, you know, businesses like Nike and Apple. Here's another quote from Sachs. "Empowerment stories, quote, inspire action by painting a picture of an imperfect world that can be repaired through heroic action," end quote. So this idea of empowering stories resonates so closely and tightly with what we've been doing on Copyblogger, especially the series that we're doing from the first of the year, where we're really trying to get very structural about the kinds of stories that work for content, about who you're speaking to, about speaking from values. All of these things really, really resonate with that John Powers, you know, those three commandments. A lot of it is about getting to a deeper truth. And the analogy that Sachs uses is, it's that core of cork in the middle of a baseball. You know, that's what makes a baseball springy and lively, is that it's got cork in the middle. And that same idea that there's a core of real, sincere human values at the core of the message. And it really is about helping people be better versions of themselves and helping people help one another. That's the kind of message that creates this empowerment kind of context, and it can be very, very powerful. So Sigmund Freud is kind of the precursor to that Edward Bernays inadequacy model. Abraham Maslow with his hierarchy of needs is really kind of the grandfather of the empowerment model. And it's not necessarily really a new model. I mean, we've had empowering myths for as long as people have been people. So it's not a new model. It's really more of a return to an ancient model. And Jonah Sacks is making the case that it's an inherently healthier model, which I think, you know, I found convincing. So those are some of the biggest ideas in the book. I'll touch on a couple more just because I found them so interesting. But I really would strongly recommend, don't kind of leave it with this podcast. Do pick the book up if this kind of work is at all interesting to you, or if you think it might be able to inform what you're doing. Because any kind of persuasion, marketing, content, journalism at this point, certainly editorial, political work, anything like that, this kind of empowering story is an amazingly powerful tool for helping people see things, differently, and making the case for what you think is going to make the world better. So I think it's just it's a lovely piece of writing. So a couple of quick strategies you can go out and use right away, because I like to be very pragmatic, and what we've been talking about is a little abstract. One of his identifications, in terms of that how to be interesting part, you might remember that John Powers, the first thing that he recommends is you have to be interesting. And, you know, that was true when he was doing newspaper ads back in the day. And of course, it's much more true now because we have so many more distractions. So Jonah Sacks has three tips. He calls them freaks, cheats, and familiars. And these are what he calls primal brain structures. They're storytelling devices or hooks, if you will, that help stories become more interesting and help capture that attention of your reader, your listener, what have you. So the first one is freaks. And Sacks identifies this as a character who's recognizable but really, really different. So, you know, it's a recognizable person. You know, we know it's a person. It's not like talking trash can or the space station, you know, or something like that. It's a human character, but it's a human character that's really markedly different and unusual. And that kind of gets us to stop in our tracks and pay attention to who this is, who's speaking. And the person could be unusual in appearance. The person could be unusual in... They could even be like unusually great looking. He has an example from the Old Spice ads of how that works. But somebody who's so distinct looking that it's striking and it captures our attention. And I would make the point that in content, sometimes you do this not necessarily with something visual, but with a particular writing voice or a speaking voice or a video style. So it's not always visual in my experience. Sometimes it has to do with word choice, with really, really interesting language, or it can be a combination of those things. The next word he uses for ways to make your content more interesting, kind of a trick to make your content more interesting, is cheats. So a cheat challenges social norms. A person who cheats is a rule breaker. It's somebody who's not accepting, you know, the traditional ways that we've always done things. This is always interesting. It creates tension. Now, cheats can be used in stories two ways. One, you can have the lone wolf, you know, the one who's breaking the rules to make the world better and is willing to defy, you know, the powers that be in order to do the right thing. That's a cheat. The other way that this can be used is to identify someone who is cheating in a negative way, who's being dishonest, who's being hypocritical. So there are cheats who break the rules we think should get broken, and there are the cheats who break the rules we don't think should get broken. Both of those are inherently really interesting. Those are stories that they will pull people in. So if you can identify that element, that cheat element, somewhere for a piece of content, it can really pull the story in. And then his final element was familiars. If you rely too much on freaks and cheats, you're going to create content that becomes off-putting at a certain point. It's going to become distancing. You know, it becomes grotesque. And we don't want grotesque, right? We want a sense of belonging. Familiar is about balancing that out, balancing that tension, speaking a common language. So this is closely tied, if not identical, to the Robert Cialdini principle of unity, where we are the same. You and I are the same because we share a core deep value or belief. Jonas Sacks has a great turn of phrase, which is arming the choir. So we all say, well, you know, you're preaching to the choir, like that's a negative thing. He talks about arming the choir, giving the choir evidence to go out and do your work, because the choir is, by its nature, the people who believe most intensely in what you do. So again, that goes back to empowerment. You know, you're taking your choir of people who believe as you believe, and you are helping them craft the stories and the arguments and the everything that they might need to go out and spread the gospel, right? Spread the word about what it is that you believe is going to make things better. So if you look for ways to use that freaks, cheats, and familiars, I would love to, if you've ever used something like that in your content, or if you have some thoughts on anything in this podcast, please do leave a comment. I love your comments. You can leave one by going to copyblogger.fm and just finding the post. A couple of asks from you. One, if you do pick the book up, please let me know how it struck you. You know, did you find it boring? Did you find it compelling? Did you get something useful out of it? I would really like to know how it struck you. Two, I would love to hear your thoughts on books we might cover in a book club segment in the future. So is there something you think is just groundbreaking? You think everybody who the kind of copy blogger kind of person should read this book and benefit from it? I would really, really love to hear about it because I have some thoughts for the next edition, but I'd also like to hear what you have to say. And the third ask, and you're never supposed to ask more than one thing, but I'm going to ask you three things, and you can pick whichever one or two or three you want. I'm thinking about writing about this freaks, cheats, and familiars idea. So if you'd like to know more about it, if you feel like it wasn't completely covered in what I talked about today, will you let me know? Just drop me a note. You can drop me a note on Twitter also, at Sonia Simone. And just let me know if this is something you'd like to hear more about, or you feel like, nah, you know, I really feel like this was covered. So thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. And I'll catch you next time. Take care.